Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. For the third time, the U.S. Supreme Court has reversed the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and upheld a death sentence for a California murderer. In a unanimous, unsigned opinion, the justices rejected the argument Fernando Belmontes should be spared because his lawyer failed to present mitigating evidence about his childhood. Belmontes bludgeoned a young woman with a barbell near Stockton in 1981. California has 685 inmates on death row, more than any other state in the nation. Two Los Angeles City Council committees voted yesterday to approve a proposed ordinance to continue allowing the sale of medical marijuana to qualified patients. During hours of passionate debate, medical marijuana consumer Oliver Summers defended dispensary sales.
I'm not a criminal. I'm a patient. I have been doing everything that the city has asked of me since 2005. If you were to pass this ordinance, you're going to punish good people of Los Angeles, and that is just unacceptable.
LA's city attorney has said he believes state law prohibits the sale of all marijuana, but West Hollywood has an ordinance that allows sales. LA's full city council is expected to vote on the matter tomorrow. NPR, Politico, The Huffington Post, and the San Francisco Chronicle have all signed up for YouTube Direct. The new feature officially rolled out today is designed to make it easy for citizen journalists to submit their own clips for professional editors to review and possibly feature on their websites. NPR plans to solicit YouTube videos for Wonderscope, a new occasional series on science on NPR.org. One of the bright spots in the economy is the green jobs sector. Workers hired, in some cases with federal stimulus money, to weatherize old homes or install rooftop solar panels. But as Sarah Varney reports, green jobs aren't necessarily clean jobs.
The pricey enclave of Piedmont, California, is an island of green in the Oakland Hills. Driveways are filled with Priuses. Roofs are topped with sparkling solar panels. And everyone, it seems, is cleaning out their attic.
As you can see, the insulation is moving out to the 6-inch hose and going to a bag, a special bag designed for removing insulation.
Devere Braca, a co-owner of Advanced Home Energy, stands next to a truck filled with what look like enormous brown bean bags. Hoses snake out of the truck, down a small path, and up into the windows of a home that's in the midst of a green cleanse. Two men in white Tyvek suits, booties, goggles, and respirators disappeared a few minutes ago into the attic. And now, decades worth of dust, insulation, nails, even mice droppings are being sucked out.
Unfortunately, this is a messy job. This is a hard job that sometimes we need to crawl into attic spaces.
The job will take 2 days, Braca says. After all the old insulation is sucked out, his workers will seal the attic and pump in new insulation made from recycled blue jeans. Of course, weatherizing homes isn't new, nor are the hazards workers face. Mike Wilson is a research scientist and executive director of the UC Berkeley Center for Green Chemistry.
These are dirty jobs. They are often conducted in confined spaces with high levels of dust, and in many cases using adhesive materials that are used to insulate ducting and water piping and so forth that are volatile, that contain toxic substances.
State regulations mandate special procedures for removing asbestos, lead, and hazardous waste, but the vast majority of toxic substances have not been evaluated for what's called a permissible exposure limit, the amount a worker can be exposed to for 8 hours without posing a serious risk. Workplace exposures have devastating consequences. 60,000 Americans die each year from workplace-related diseases. California's Division of Occupational Safety and Health is charged with protecting workers, but the agency, starved for resources, has just 200 field compliance officers to enforce regulations for 17.5 million workers.
Like any new industrial sector, there will be employers who take advantage of people, and with a weak compliance system in the state, it's almost certain that that's going to occur.
One of the most dangerous green jobs is solar installation. That's because falls are the number one cause of work-related fatalities. Workers carrying heavy panels on pitched, slippery roofs have died falling off buildings and through skylights. Earlier this year, one solar installer was electrocuted after a long bracket hit a high-voltage power line. Working on roofs doesn't require any special certification. Solar companies generally train their workers to install their own proprietary systems. Workers are supposed to wear harnesses and other protective gear, says Sue Catley, executive director of CalSEA, a solar company trade association.
I've had constant problems with people telling me that construction workers don't like wearing harnesses on the roofs because it's not manly. And I'm saying, well, you know, wear them anyway. It's almost, you feel like it's working with people when they first had to learn how to put their kids in child seats.
We're trying to get rid of that attitude, the macho, oh, I don't have to put gloves on to do this. I'll just do it like this. Or I don't need to put my respirator on because I can smell okay. I'm not breathing improperly.
That attitude is changing as younger construction workers attend green job training programs that are proliferating around the country. At the Cypress Mandela training program in West Oakland, director Sylvester Hodges says his students, most of whom are poor African Americans and Latinos, learn not just about carpentry and solar installation, but also about the threat of climate change and the values that started the green revolution in the first place, like reduce, reuse, and recycle. Still, there's a long way to go. Even greener materials, like the recycled blue jeans used to insulate attics, are sprayed with flame retardants. Though there are some less toxic flame retardants, the most commonly used accumulate in everything from human breast milk to shellfish. UC Berkeley's Mike Wilson says that shouldn't stop people from greening their homes.
There is just this critical need for us to respond to climate disruption. And yet, we also face this problem that we've faced so many times of unintended consequences. And we can do things now to avoid those.
Like finding alternatives to toxic chemicals. And, says Wilson, state and federal agencies should more aggressively regulate chemicals in consumer and industrial products. And he says, despite severe budget problems, governments need to invest heavily in their enforcement programs to ensure workers are being protected. For the California Report, I'm Sarah Varney.
Got a comment on our coverage or a story idea you want us to follow up on? Email us at calreport@kqed.org. That's the California Report for Tuesday, November 17th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Myro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. The California Endowment, working to build healthier communities that support children, youth, and families. Online at www.calendow.org. And Chevron, an energy company encouraging innovation right here in California. This is the power of human energy. Information available at chevroncalifornia.com.